From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Josh Chilson in Sioux Falls. With primaries in the rearview, all eyes look to the general election that's less than 3 months away. Republican politics have dominated discussions so far this summer due to a competitive gubernatorial primary that extended nearly 2 extra months because of a runoff. Now, the other side of the aisle is trying to make up ground. As Jackson Dirks reports, for Dakota Democrats, the focus is on listening and localizing.
Democrats face an uphill battle. The state legislature is dominated by Republicans. A Democrat hasn't been in Congress for South Dakota in over a decade. And a Democrat hasn't won the governor's seat since the 70s. Steve Klobach was the last Democrat to win election as a state executive in 2006. He earned a seat on the Public Utilities Commission. For Frank Klocek, former decades-long legislator in the state house, it's that very position in which he hopes to start a wave of blue. Klocek's running for PUC. He tells a crowd of about 24 in Woonsocket, South Dakota, that it has to start small.
And you say, well, maybe we've got a small crowd. And I'll tell you about a small crowd.
Klocek says small crowds have changed the law of the land in South Dakota before. One man had an idea to change the constitutional requirements to become governor.
One person made a difference. Two people made a difference. They were two ladies that wanted to change the inheritance tax, to repeal it. Do you remember the repeal of the inheritance tax?
Those two Republican women, West River, started the movement to repeal South Dakota's inheritance tax. He says it doesn't take a lot of people. It takes six people finding six more.
And you go to Pierre, and six people get together, and if they work correctly from the grassroots, they can get bills killed, they can get bills passed, but they got to work together. And we need to get back to that, where the grassroots is making the difference. We've got to get back to that.
Klocek faces Republican Don Hager in November. Nikki Gronley is running against Attorney General Marty Jackley for South Dakota's lone seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. She says so far on the campaign trail, she's hearing people struggle to pay for groceries, daycare, and other necessities. She thinks people are exhausted by partisan fighting.
We need to get back to actually solving problems.
She continues saying she believes South Dakotans are tired of performative politics and politicians focusing on airtime rather than issues. That goes for both national Republicans and national Democrats, she says.
I think you have a slate of candidates right now who they're tired of it. They just want to get back to solving issues. And if that separates us from the national Democrats, I think you're absolutely right. We're folks who live in the middle of the country. We care about our neighbors, and we are tired of the fighting and the politics for celebrity, as opposed to actually taking care of our neighbors.
Gronley says people have asked Dakota Democrats about what Zoran Mamdani is doing in New York City, or what they think about the Michigan Senate's Democratic primary. She says focusing on what's happening with the national Dems misses the mark.
It isn't that I'm not paying attention to Washington, D.C. or international issues that we have right now, but my focus day to day is what a farmer down the road is going through, and the fact that he didn't put fertilizer on a field this year and put his crop in because it was too expensive. So he's going with a lower yield and praying for the best.
Gronley continues.
That is where our members of Congress should be putting their time and energy. They should be thinking about our state first. And awareness of the national party and what they're doing, great. But that is not where the focus should be. It should be right here at home.
Another major race this cycle is the governor's race. Former state legislator and South Dakota Democratic Executive Director Dan Ahlers is on the ticket. He's facing Governor Larry Rodin, who received broad Republican support in a GOP runoff. He says what makes a Dakota Democrat is different than other flavors of the party.
We're here to represent the people of South Dakota, and what that looks like is different than what it may look like in Minnesota or Texas or California.
Ahlers says in any party, there are faults in extremism. He says Democrats this cycle are emphasizing working across the aisle. Ahlers says it's not a new concept or strategy for Democrats in the state. It's something he tells Woonsocket only Democrats in South Dakota are uniquely situated to do.
And I don't care what party it is, we need balance in state government. We need a balance of ideas. We need people who are willing to work it together across the aisle. I've heard Many Republicans say, I know how to be bipartisan. I'm like, when have you ever worked in a minority? When have you ever had to reach across party lines to make something happen? They haven't.
Aller says the platform and policy issues the party's candidates are focusing on are a result of listening at events like this one. In Woonsocket, I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
Meantime, another South Dakota Democrat seeking statewide office also spoke at that Woonsocket event, and he says he's receiving bipartisan support following the GOP nomination. Terrence Davis is a Democratic nominee for Secretary of State.
So at the Republican convention, I had a flood of Republicans that even some a bit further, you know, on the side of the spectrum, which you know, I have a lot of respect for that because at the end of the day, people want good services, right? And I used to be a registered Republican. I don't hide that. I was always in the middle. I'm in the middle as a Democrat. I don't hide that. People, they just want somebody who can do their job, somebody who's balanced.
Davis tells SDPB following the Republican convention, he received, quote, support from both independents and Republicans. State Legislator Heather Baxter is the GOP nominee. She was chosen at the state convention over incumbent Monet Johnson. Baxter has received criticism for favoring hand-counting paper ballots. South Dakota Searchlight reported in June that Baxter's website said she, quote, advocates for hand-counted paper ballots, no more voting machines. Such language is no longer on her website. Davis is against using hand-counting as a primary method for counting ballots. Tamara Lesner is a Libertarian nominee in the race. Military officials say a South Dakota airman killed in the Vietnam War has been accounted for. Colonel Walter Renault of Roberts County was shot down while flying a reconnaissance mission in November of 1969. Bad weather and enemy activity prevented rescue attempts and subsequent searches. The Air Force made a presumptive finding of death in 1973. In May of 2025, possible human remains and other evidence were found. A scientific analysis confirmed the identity. The POW/MIA accounting agency officially considered Renault accounted for in June of 2025. The agency waited until now to release this to the public to give time to provide a full briefing for Renault's family. He'll be buried at Arlington National Cemetery on August 17th. South Dakota's lone representative in the U.S. House is at the tip of the spear on a hot-button issue, sports event prediction markets. As SDPB's Jackson Dirks reports, getting any legislation passed on the new national craze is going to be a challenge.
Prediction markets are both popular and controversial. Apps like Kalshi and Polymarket allow users to trade on event outcomes, including the outcomes of sporting events. Opponents of the market say they're legalizing sports betting in states like South Dakota, where sports betting is illegal. Proponents of the market say the platforms are selling event contracts and allowing users to trade, not gamble. U.S. Representative Dusty Johnson chairs a subcommittee on commodity markets, digital assets, and rural development. He tells SDPB that some platforms have designed this sports betting to look like a swap, a derivative product that's regulated federally and not by states.
And part of that, I mean, the Commodities Exchange Act was written in 1934. And so it is a pretty good piece of work, but has not kept pace with all of the evolutions that have happened in almost 100 years.
He says that it's time for Congress to try to build common ground and consensus.
To what extent do we feel like this is risk management and hedging, which is a derivatives purpose regulated at the federal level? To what extent is this gambling, which has traditionally been regulated at the state level?
Though finding that common ground won't be easy, Johnson says.
I mean, as the chairman of the subcommittee that oversees commodity markets, I mean, it's my job to try to find out whether or not there is path for legislation that would answer some of these open questions. I think it's a really difficult path. I mean, there's still a chance that I'm in the process of drafting legislation. It may be that I'll be in a position to release that. But if I'm being honest, I think it is going to be really hard to find a product that could get 60 votes in the United States Senate. This is a highly controversial issue.
Last month, Johnson's subcommittee did some of the groundwork to look at the issue. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
Attorney General Marty Jackley is asking Congress to keep a recently closed loophole intact. That so-called loophole allowed certain hemp products that can lead to mind-altering effects, or a high. That's because when the federal government legalized federal hemp, it only banned Delta-9. Other isomers of THC were considered legal. Manufacturers began creating gummies, drinks, and other products with those isomers. Congress closed the loophole last year by banning other chemical compounds of THC. That ban takes effect in November. Some talks have looked at delaying the ban or changing it entirely, such as focusing on age restrictions to the products. Shackley and 34 other attorneys general are urging Congress against that. He worries reopening the loophole would, quote, increase youth access to intoxicating hemp products. The Meade County Commission is enacting a countywide bird ban due to extreme fire conditions. Under the ban, no open fires or burn barrels are permitted. Smoking outdoors is prohibited, as is outdoor grilling, unless permitted by the landowner. This comes as the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally brings thousands of visitors to the county. Meantime, Stage 2 restrictions prohibiting outdoor burning have been in effect on all of the Black Hills National Forest lands since late July. The South Dakota Grassland Fire Map shows a very high risk across the western edge of South Dakota. The South Dakota Arts Council announces more than $2 million in grants for fiscal year 2027. These grants are awarded to organizations or individuals to support statewide arts initiatives. Most awards are under $10,000, though a few are larger. Among this year's grant recipients, the Watertown Town Players received $5,000 for arts education and youth engagement programs, and the Black Hills Chamber Music Society received $8,000 to support performances and educational outreach programs. Several individual artists also received career development or apprenticeship grants. Organizers say these help keep artists living and working in South Dakota. You can find a full list of this year's recipients at sdpb.org/news. That's your daily news update. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at sdpbnews. And stay up to date on the latest headlines at sdpb.org/news. Thank you for following listener-supported SDPB.